What do authors want? It's a short question with a long answer. Let's start with the basics. In 2013, what it means to be an author is no longer the difference between having a publisher and wishing for one. Authors are free to take their works directly to readers via the web, and that freedom has encouraged many more of us to imagine ourselves as writers. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. My name is Christopher Keneally, your host for Beyond the Book. A recent survey of 5,000 authors takes pains to sort through the different species of writers and their concerns, all in search of answers to what keeps up at night those agents, editors, booksellers, and publishers, the fear of their own irrelevance. Survey co-author Jeremy Greenfield, editorial director of the Digital Book World online community, joins me now. Jeremy, welcome back to Beyond the Book.
Thanks, Chris. Always a pleasure.
Well, we're looking forward to chatting with you about this particular report. You surveyed 5,000 authors, and as I mentioned in the introduction, that covers a multitude of sins. First of all, tell us about the kinds of authors who responded and how they break down.
So we talked to almost 5,000 authors, and about 800 of them or so are identified as self-published. A little under 800 identified as traditionally published, and a little over 600 identified as what we're calling hybrid authors, which are authors who have both self-published a book and traditionally published a book. And then the rest are identified as aspiring authors, so those who have not yet published a book but hope to.
Well, indeed, and that's an interesting category here, and again, it strikes me as a kind of indication of where we are in 2013 with publishing. So many more people seem to be aspiring to authorship, and they have some expectations, and that's what the survey really gets into and I find fascinating. They have some expectations about their experience, and I suppose we should tell people a little bit more about the kinds of authors we're talking about here. The predominant majority are fiction writers, is that right?
Yes, we not only surveyed our own community for the authors that are in the Digital Book World community, but we also went out to the Writer's Digest community, which is a sister publication of Digital Book World, and it's the largest writing magazine in the world, so far as I know. And then we went out to two other organizations, the Romance Writers of America and the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America, and they helped disseminate our survey. So overwhelmingly, we're talking about fiction writers.
Indeed. And how does it break down by gender and any other kinds of sort of demographics that you can tell us about?
Roughly three-quarters to four-fifths are women. The breakdowns that I find really interesting are the ones between the hybrid authors and everybody else. So, for instance, hybrid authors make a lot more money from their writing than other kinds of authors. Hybrid authors have built much more significant online platforms than other kinds of authors, so they have larger Twitter followings, they have larger Facebook followings, they're more active on Goodreads, they blog more often, and by and large, they have savvier opinions about the publishing industry as a whole. In terms of other kinds of demographics, they're exactly what you'd expect in a nationally representative survey.
Well, indeed, those hybrid authors really stand out because they are so different from the rest of the crowd. As you say, they're more successful, they're more savvy, and they are more active in the social media world. What's surprising is to find, first of all, at least for me at least, the numbers of the authors participating in the social media world are fewer than we would expect.
It depends on which kinds of social media you're looking at. If you're looking at Pinterest, you know, not a lot of authors are on Pinterest. But if you're looking at Twitter, a lot of authors are on Twitter. And actually, Facebook is the most popular social avenue for authors. And then the second most popular would be blogging. There's a huge disparity here, though, between published authors and all the aspiring authors. So if you've been self-published or you publish with a traditional publisher or you're a hybrid author, you're much more likely to post writing-related tweets on Twitter or Facebook, to be active on Goodreads. You're even almost twice as likely to use Pinterest for book purposes. You know, I think the only real area where aspiring writers are even close to published authors is in blogging. Just under 40% or so of aspiring authors blog about what they're doing, and roughly a little under 60% of published authors do.
Right. And the kinds of authors we're talking about here are ebook authors. I think that's an important point to make. And so they have some interesting things to say about the ebook publishing world itself, particularly about prices. What do they think about ebook prices?
Well, in general, they think ebook prices are too high. But let me back up for a second. You know, why would an author really care about prices? There are a lot of reasons. You know, as a consumer, maybe they have an idea of what ebooks should cost. I mean, a lot of people have the idea that ebooks should cost less than the print book, and that makes a lot of sense. And by and large, ebooks do cost less than the print book. But I think the other side of it is money. Authors want to make money from what they do. It's not the most important thing to them, not as important as getting their work out there or building their writing careers or fulfilling a lifelong ambition to be a published author. But money is a factor for them. And some authors might think that a higher price scares readers away. Some authors might think a lower price devalues their work and that every time someone buys a copy, they're not making as much money as they should. So the first thing I like to think about when I think about that side of it is what authors think the royalty rate should be for ebook sales. Now, it's pretty well known that the standard ebook royalty is about 25% if you go to a major publisher. If you go to other kinds of publishers, you know, digital startups, you might get more. And if you self-publish yourself, you'll get up to 70%, depending on what retailer you use. And if you sell direct, obviously, you get 100%. But across the board, authors in general think that royalties should be higher for ebooks, and hybrid authors are really the outlier. They think that royalties for ebooks should be about 45%. Aspiring authors are sort of the low figure, and they think royalties for ebooks should be 34%. In terms of pricing, though, in general, authors think that ebooks are priced too high, and that's in line with the general population.
Well, indeed, and what's also interesting is the expectations they have around compensation, and you can tell it's some of the average earnings, but also I was struck that half of the authors participating in the survey make no money at all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, aspiring authors in general don't make money from their writing. And I can tell you from being having freelanced as a journalist, it's not easy to get paying writing gigs. And in fact, there's a lot of controversy around right now the idea of free writing, sort of that old Huffington Post model where people get a platform, but they write essentially for free. So I'm not surprised to learn that aspiring authors don't make a lot of money. What really surprised me is that hybrid authors make a lot more money from their writing than anybody, much more than traditionally published authors or anyone else. What really is surprising, I think, is expectations when it comes to advances. Hybrid authors believe that they should get the largest advance out of all the groups, and aspiring the lowest, but they're all in sort of the low to mid five figures range, around $25,000 to $35,000. And if you're a publisher, most publishers don't really pay advances like that. I mean, the larger publishers, that would be a small advance, but for other kinds of publishers, you know, that would be kind of an unheard of sum for compensating their authors up front.
Well, again, it's interesting, you know, the expectations and the realities out there are in contrasting positions. And the other part that I thought was interesting was the perception around DRM, the digital rights management, so-called, is that it's dead. And yet a large number of the authors responding to your survey were really in favor of DRM. And they seem to be indicating there, I think, a kind of a fear of losing their work to piracy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's also a difference here between the hybrid authors and the rest of the authors. In general, though, authors are more in favor of either leaving DRM alone or strengthening it than any other option. You know, about 1 in 10 authors in general are in favor of abolishing DRM, and that goes against what some people in the publishing digerati think. You know, there are obviously very strong feelings about digital rights management and publishing going both ways. One of the in vogue things to think is that DRM is really just bad for readers and doesn't help publishers or authors. And so, you know, there's no point to DRM. But authors, they don't just think about it in terms of piracy or, you know, what's better for publishing. They also think about it in terms of an emotional response. I don't want someone stealing my work when I spent so many hours or days or months or years on it. So the other interesting thing about DRM is that for hybrid authors, even though about 40% of them in general think it should be strengthened or left alone, by far they had the largest response of people thinking it should be abolished. Almost a quarter of hybrid authors think DRM should be abolished. And this is really in line with hybrid authors in general, that they are more aware of what's going on in the industry and their views are more in lockstep with the views of the publishing digerati, for lack of a better term.
Well, one thing that leaped out at me was that it seems like as if, you know, the greater your understanding of the business as an author, the less likely you're going to want to work with a publisher.
You know, yes and no. That is true, that the hybrid authors of every group are more likely to say that they will self-publish their next book and less likely to say that they want to publish with a traditional publisher. However, when you look at those two numbers next to each other, and I don't have the figures for that particular set in front of me, every kind of author still would be interested in publishing with a traditional publisher more than they would be interested in self-publishing their next book. And I think that's good news for publishing. I think that it means for publishers that they haven't lost the war to self-publishing yet. I mean, you look at authors like Hugh Howey who negotiated a very nice deal for himself with Simon & Schuster, where he got to keep his ebook rights, and he sold the print version to them for seven figures, reportedly. Most authors don't have choices like that. Most authors are going to have self-publishing be their only option. And the big publishers still command an element of prestige, and people still want to be a part of what they're doing. And I also think that, you know, the number one most important thing to authors when publishing their book is wide distribution. They want their book to be everywhere. And a lot of authors know that the path to a bookstore is the big publishers. I think one of the challenges the big publishers will face over the next few years is getting the word out to authors more about what they do, specifically about that distribution question, that they can get your book distributed farther and wider than if you just publish it yourself.
Well, indeed, I think that's what's interesting about your report, Jeremy, is the ways that it's going to be read by the various other actors in the supply chain for books. We are chatting today with Jeremy Greenfield, editorial director of Digital Book World, who's co-author of a survey taking a look at more than 5,000 authors, asking them the question, what do you want? What do authors want? It's a survey of authors to understand their priorities in the self-publishing era. And, you know, I suppose it depends your perspective as to what kind of conclusions you draw from these findings. I think, for example, as you mentioned about the support for DRM out there, that's good news for a place like Copyright Clearance Center. It really says that authors care deeply about their ownership and really want to protect it. Are there any other interesting conclusions that seem to suggest themselves to you?
Well, I think the main findings are very interesting to publishers and self-published platforms. You know, what do authors want when they publish a book? What do they think is important? What's a factor that helps them decide to go one way or the other? And in fact, we are going to be doing a deeper dive survey to just hybrid authors over the next few months that we'll be presenting, hopefully, at an upcoming conference. And so we'll find out even more what these hybrid authors think, who seem to be sort of ahead of the game. But I'm actually going to share with you, Chris, and your audience, some of the findings from our appendices, which talk about issues that are not part of that core, what authors want from publishers and self-publishing. And I'll just go through a couple of them for you to give you some information. We asked authors about having someone manage their writing career, which we saw as a pretty good proxy for agents. You know, no surprise here, hybrid authors felt like they didn't need anyone to help them manage their career. And, you know, why should they? They're doing a very good job of it as a group on their own. Traditionally published authors, about 55% of them said it was important to have someone manage their writing career. I think if you're an agent, you can take that either way. I mean, one, it could either be a higher number than the other authors, and so you think, okay, well, published authors get it. Or two, you know, 55% is not a very big number. Maybe published authors aren't really seeing the value of agents these days. Obviously, 10 years ago, you know, having an agent was a path to publication, so it was absolutely essential. Aspiring authors, and this is the good news for agents, 61% of them believe that it's important to have someone help manage their writing career. In general, aspiring authors showed themselves to be very open-minded about things, And, you know, that's publishers and self-publishing platforms and agents. Everyone in the publishing ecosystem should really be aware that authors who haven't yet published, you know, are still impressionable, and there's time to, you know, affect their attitudes towards what you do. Another thing we asked them about was library lending, library ebook lending, and the opinions were pretty uniform here. Almost two-thirds of authors and basically every group thought that library ebook lending was a good thing for authors. I feel like that's, you know, sort of a wishy-washy number. It's not like 90% of them thought so, and it's not like 10% of them thought so. So we're going to monitor how that might change over the next year as the library ebook issue continues to develop. So ebook prices was something that you asked about, and I actually just pulled up the slide that is specifically about ebook pricing. No surprise again, hybrid authors, 70% of them think ebooks are priced too high. Across all of the groups, only 3 or 4% of everyone we queried thought that they were priced too low. And aspiring authors, again, only 46% of them thought that they were priced too high. So the aspiring authors seem to have slightly more favorable opinions of what's happening right now in the publishing industry than other groups. And the last sort of side issue that we looked at was online book selling. And again, hybrid authors led the group when it asked if online book selling was good for most authors and if it's good for them personally. And again, aspiring authors sort of were the lowest number answering that question. So I think that, again, if you're a publisher and you're talking to authors and you're trying to appeal to authors who haven't yet published any kind of book, there's an opportunity to explain how the path to getting into a bookstore is through a publisher and how that's so important. And let's not forget, Chris, that physical bookstores are still the number one sales channel for books.
Well, indeed. And when we speak about self-publishing and the rise of self-publishing, you also have some perspective on that. I believe the sales figures, the most recent ones you had, were for about $100 million in sales, is estimated. But that's against what size for the whole book market itself?
So those are 2011 numbers. And those came from a report delivered at Digital Book World over a year ago now. And that number has been bandied about all year. And that's out of about almost $14 billion. Dollars in trade publishing revenue. So it sounds like a lot, $100 million, but it's just a drop in the bucket. I would suspect that number will be much higher if we see 2012 figures, because not only has self-publishing risen to prominence, but the number of authors who are having huge success self-publishing, selling tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of copies, has really grown significantly. And in fact, this week, for the first time ever, we saw a self-published author hit number one on the ebook, the Digital Book World ebook bestseller list. We've had self-published authors come close. We've had some hit number two and number three in the top ten. This is the first time we've had a self-published author hit number one, and I think it just goes to show that, you know, self-published authors can not only play with the big boys, but they can also win. And, you know, you better believe that Jennifer Armentrout, who is the author who did it, sold a lot of copies and made a lot of money in the past couple weeks.
And you better believe as well that publishers and agents and all the others are paying attention to those kinds of reports.
Oh, well, you know, she's got an agent. And, you know, if the lesson of Hugh Howey is an indication, that agent is going to publishers with those numbers and those reports and saying, you know, you can get on this train if the price is right. You know, my guess is that a couple of years ago, a little bit of success from a self-published author, it would have been a little bit less expensive for a publisher to acquire the rights, or they could have acquired, you know, the ebook and the print rights and the worldwide rights to a book. Now I think it's going to be harder and more expensive for publishers to do so, because self-published authors are beginning to learn their value. That said, I think Random House, for instance, can point to the success of 50 Shades of Grey and say, see, you know, she couldn't have done it without us. And I also think that there's something in it for publishers. You know, publishers operate like venture capitalists. They go out into the world and they try to find content that will sell, and then they make an investment in it. And the investment comes in the form of dollars, but it also comes in the form of opportunity costs. They could have picked up a different book, or they could have gone a different direction with their money. you know, and then invest into risk. In the old publishing model, a very small percentage of your books made money and the rest of them lost money. Today, you know, maybe they have to pay seven figures to acquire the print rights to Wool by Hugh Howey, but they already know that there's a huge audience for that book, and they've already seen it sell really, really well. So it's not really as much of a risk because they know they're going to do fairly well with the book.
Well, Jeremy Greenfield, editorial director of Digital Book World and co-author of a new survey of nearly 5,000 authors, What Authors Want, a survey of authors to understand their priorities. Thanks so much for joining us today on Beyond the Book.
Thanks, Chris. And if I could, I should say that the survey, What Authors Want, a survey of authors to understand their priorities in the self-publishing era, is available for sale in the Digital Book World store. And if anyone has trouble with that, they can feel free to find me and I'll help them.
Well, indeed. And we'll put a link on the Beyond the Book website, just directing them exactly to where they need to go.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
All right. Thank you again, Jeremy Greenfield, editorial director, Digital Book World. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. Follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.